Welcome, everybody, to the Between Two Wheels podcast. This is Tyler Yonke. Today, we're doing a very special 2020 NCNCA preview show, and we're going to start out with, we have some special guests. We have Eric Camacho of the San Jose Bike Club and the NCNCA president, Chris Levin of Penn Velo, Jason Grafath of the Thirsty Bear cycling team, Chris Flower of the Between Two Wheels podcast and the DDA racing team. So we're going to talk about the 2020 schedule along with some other things. Cycling news, if you're new, you're old, either way, this is your preseason motivation, episode 153. All right, guys, thank you for joining us. Let's start off and just kind of go around and introduce everybody. Jason Grafath, Thirsty Bear, in studio with us. How are you doing, Jason?
I'm awesome.
How's your preseason preparation going?
It's a little coming off of the Barbat winning.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're all trying to stay dry and figuring out when we turn on our Zwift subscription again.
Right.
If we haven't already.
Right. Chris, how are you doing? Thanks for joining us once again.
Doing well. I rode a bike yesterday. I think that's the first time in about 3 or 4 weeks. So, getting back into it.
Great. And very special on the line here with us, joining us. Thanks, guys, is Eric Camacho and Chris Levins. Let's start with Eric. Eric, you're kind of the big man on campus for us here in the NCNCA, president of the Cycling Association and San Jose Bike Club. Welcome. And first of all, how's your cycling going? And then anything you want to throw in about yourself?
You said that, you mentioned that I'm the president of the NCNCA. This is my fourth year as the president of the NCNCA and really enjoying it. This is a sport that I'm passionate about, like everyone else here on this call, and I'm glad to be a part of keeping things moving forward. We've experienced some setbacks, but we'll turn that around. And we have some plans for 2020 to help promote racing and keeping people engaged. Excited about that. San Jose Bike Club. So I am the current men's race team director for the San Jose Bicycle Club. We are growing the team and we have a lot of excitement. We have some very brand new racers, people that haven't been to a race yet, all the way up to Cat 1, Cat 2 racers. And we have people that'll be racing pretty much in every field at every race, or have the ability to race there. And I'm looking forward to it. And myself, I've been back on the bike for a while, doing well in my base building, and that's pretty exciting too. I had some time away, and so excited to get back.
Yeah, time away is always good and necessary. Chris Levins, thank you for joining us as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your team as well?
Sure, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
it's a privilege. My name is Chris Levins. I'm the current vice president of Penn Velo Racing Summit Bicycles. And I have the privilege this year of being the race director for the first race of the NCNCA season, the San Bruno Mountain Hill Climb. So I'm excited to kick that off. Our team is, we missed out last year, got second place in the Barbat competition, but we are hungry and we are ready to attack this season and come out firing on January 1st and then all season long through the end of it. So I'm excited to be here and talk about that today.
So we'll get into, because San Bruno, the first one coming up, I'm sure all of us here are planning on doing that race, so we'll talk to you about that a little bit. But first I just wanted to talk kind of, you're a new racer to this cycling. What specifically does the NCNCA do? And I know we start with the preseason, some of these early birds, but maybe Eric, you can get us started off with what does the NCNCA offer and the races offer for the new racer?
So thanks for asking. So the early birds is one of the programs that most people are familiar with. They're going on the 34th year in 2020. They've taken place in Fremont the entire time. There may be a slight course adjustment this year, and or when I say this year, I mean 2020 and the next race year coming up. So stay tuned for those details. But the early bird, it's called the Beginner Racer Program. And so what we do is we teach people how to ride bikes in packs, how to take turns at speed, how to protect their front wheel, what to do in case of things such as a wheel bump occurs. And then we put them in race situation. So we have a clinic for every group that we have. And then that's the starting point. And then there's also a mock race at the end of every day. And so in addition to the early birds in 2020, there's also Clovis that's coming back, and they're hosting their Criterium training series as well, all throughout the month of January.
Okay, great. Hey, so Jason, you've got, why don't we get start a breakdown with some of this racing early season. We're going to start with the first part of it. San Bruno, have you done that? And as I know your team shows up in force. So, and then we'll talk to Chris kind of about the presentation of that. Or did you have any comments about what Eric was just saying with new riders?
Yeah, I was curious if anyone, I've not ever done the early birds. I got it, like my first race was, I want to say it was like March or April, my first year. So I missed the early birds, but I was wondering if any of you guys had done the early birds and what your experience was there.
I have not.
I did. I only did the race portion of it, though. So one of the things that Eric could add on to the clinic component is at the end of the day, there's even a, I guess it's a P123 crit.
That's correct.
So I've done that before, and it's a good opportunity to just kind of test your legs as well. If you're not needing the clinic component, there's still a race at the end of the day. So I've gone down and done that before. It's a pretty big course. It's open and fun. So.
Are there prizes, anything for that? And I imagine they have a mentor in the race as well?
Yeah, there's mentors, multiple mentors in every race. And so what we do is we take a crowd, split up the mentors in a somewhat equal multiple mentors per riders. And so if we have 12 riders, if we have 12 mentors and 100 riders, then we'll split up in maybe like three or four groups. And then just to evenly divide the mentors. So to tell you about the early birds, I started as a participant in 2010. I came back as a Cat 3. And so I've been doing the early birds every year since 2010. And then I came back as a Cat 3 as a mentor, and I've been mentoring every year since then as well.
What does it take for someone to be a mentor? Do they just contact you? Is that something that you guys look out for? Teams nominate? How does that work?
Yeah, great question. So to become a mentor, there is typically the Saturday before the first early bird session. So before that first Sunday in January, which will be in 2020, there is a training session for new mentors, especially returning mentors. They're always encouraged to come as well. And so one, we want to make sure that everyone's going through the curriculum. We do encourage coaches to come out, but that's not a requirement at this time. And typically, most mentors are Cat 3 or higher racers, but that's not a hard, fast rule.
Gotcha. Excuse me. Look, so we'll just kind of morph through some things here from early season with you, Chris, and then Eric, and then we'll kind of move on. But so one of the other topics that came to light, and it has to do with, we're talking about categories, is you put out a master's survey. So this caused, I know you put one for men and one for women, and as our masters men like to do, we complain. So you put out a survey. I heard all kinds of complaining. Why is there not a category just for my specific birthday? And so what was your, first of all, your reasoning for doing that? And then what was the feedback that you got? And maybe Jason could, and Chris here, we could all chime in about our preferred categories.
Well, I don't think it's any secret that the NCNCA has been experiencing roughly about a 10% decrease in ridership on year over year. For a while, we were able to bring in about 10% of new riders every year, so it was kind of a wash. The last couple of years, especially, it's been closer to 5% that we're bringing in. So we're losing 5% of riders minimum every year. Oh. And so one of the things is why are we losing? Or one of the questions for the survey is, why are we losing riders? We're losing a lot of masters riders too. And so a couple of years ago, when there was an introduction of Cat 5 women racers, we talked to a lot of the women that were racing, and, we said, what's going to be best for the women on how we can separate this and, on categories going forward, and then let's get this out to the promoters. Thankfully, we have many women on the board, so that's great. There's a great representation while we're having these conversations. And what they came back with was, women can come in. Previously, they were Cat 4, so they would upgrade once. And then if they're masters racers, they're racing against national level almost pro racers or a very high level of racers. So as a Cat 4, they were doing pretty good, especially if they're better than average. So then they can go from winning races to upgrading and then getting completely demolished. And on the master side, for the men, after we've taken the survey, you know, we're seeing a lot of those same comments. We see, I've read through the comments of 440 participants of that Masters Men's survey, and the story wasn't all that different. So if you have a better than average Masters Man racer who's 35 plus or older, they can come in, do the early birds, and by mid-February, they can be a Cat 4 if they've never raced, let's say it's their first year. And then, you know, they throw down at a couple of races, place well, they can earn that 20 points to upgrade to a Cat 3. So maybe by late March to early April, they're going from a brand new racer who's just getting started, potentially undeveloped or underdeveloped, to go on to the next level of a Cat 3, racing against guys that are doing national level competitions, world record holders. Here in the NCNCA, we are both blessed and cursed by the success of our racers here. We have guys that have done so well on a world platform that when the new folks are coming in behind them to kind of backfill those open spaces, they're just not yet, most people are not developed to go from that 5 to 4 to 3 within 4 months and then race at that high of a level. And so, like I said, with the ladies that were going from the 4s to 3 and then competing at a high level, these guys are showing up, getting demolished. And, you know, a lot of people living here in the Bay Area and throughout California, they have one job, if not multiple jobs, have families, and sometimes a long commute. So they don't have 20 plus hours to train to be able to contend at that high level.
So what was that? Okay. Was there more? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, so then what's the result? Anything from the survey that you have that you're planning on doing something different than with the categories to alleviate that problem? Or is that just something that we're going to, I mean, look, racing in, I've always said, you race in your division in California or Colorado, you're probably going to be able to handle it anywhere in the U.S. because those two states are really kind of predominant. I mean, is there anything you can really do other than just maybe encourage these people not to upgrade?
Yeah, that's one option. But most people that I've worked with, I'm also a coach, their number one goal is to upgrade.
Right.
For the majority of people that I've worked with. What we did is what we came up with. I presented it to the board that we create a new bat bar category. And so in 2019, we had a category, and we've had this for years, that was for 35 plus, 45 plus men that are Cat 4s, and then it's split into a spring and a summer category. Okay. And then at the end of the year, we have our celebration at our banquet, and there's prizes awarded for those two categories. So what I proposed, and we'll be going forward with this in 2020, is that we're doing away with that 35, 45 plus Cat 4, and we're introducing, instead of a spring and summer and split in half, an annual competition for 35 and 45 plus Cat 3 and 4s. So then there's another middle step before upgrading, before racing against the 1, 2, 3s. Cat 3 may not be able to compete against the Cat 1, and we're kind of hoping and putting it out that those categories take place in criteriums, because we kind of feel that some of the road races right now, they're just not getting the participation that they should. And, I mean, Snelling's doing great, but what about the other races?
Oh, yeah.
So see those races lose out on participation.
Yeah, I think a handful of races have used that category before in the crits, the 35 plus, 3-4, and those fields are usually packed. I think rolling that out to other races is probably going to be better than not. So it's usually those are the fields that are really well attended.
Was there any, I think from taking your survey, I mean, it's been a while, but there was some talk about changing age categories. I think bringing in younger, changing some things around. Any development on that, or was that just the pushback was too much?
You know, there wasn't a significant reason to change categories after reading through the responses. So there were four people of those 440 that were in that age group that would be affected by a 30 plus category. And so they were somewhere between the ages of 30 to, I'd say 34 or so. And so they said, you know, even when I reach 35, I'm not going to race masters. I'm going to race P12 for life as long as I can. So with that statement, and then the rest of the statements that followed up, you know, I will say, unfortunately, a lot of people that responded to the age brackets responded with statements such as, I'm 39 years old today, and next year I'll be 40. So, you know, the 30, 40, 50 is a great age bracket. And, you know, I'm really interested in this. Other people were on the other end of that spectrum. You know, I'm 44 this year. I'll be 45 next year. So don't change the age brackets, because I've been waiting for 10 years to get into this next category.
What's interesting, and I know you guys want to talk too, but what's interesting there is all the responses are what's best for me, and what should be best for growing this community and getting more people out there. I mean, you know, it's what's great about being 48. I can race in three different races, you know, for the day, and it's pretty. It gets a lot of. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think I was a proponent of the 30 plus category, mostly because I think the 35 category is dying. Like every year, the numbers are down. I mean, crits with the 35s are usually do okay, but that's mostly because the 45 guys are doubling up. You know, so you've got some spillover there, and the road races in the 35s, and Eric, you alluded to that. You know, the big ones that I think everyone does, they have no problem with field sizes, but other ones, there's like 6, 8, maybe 10 racers in the race. So I was hoping that, you know, sliding that age down to 30 would incent some people that are just kind of sick of getting their teeth kicked in by the P12s, and, you know, maybe they have a job and family and they don't have time to train at a P12 level, that they can come out to a 30 plus race and do that. So, but we'll see as that goes. What was the other one? There was the age thing and then the category thing. I think that the 3-4s, I think, is great. Like, I think that that's, at least for crits, I think it's a fantastic idea, because people can do their quote-unquote hard race, and they can do a race where they feel they're probably competitive in, and it's kind of more animated, and maybe it's at a level that they train at if it's not, you know, at that super high level. So for crits, I think that's awesome. And I hope it encourages people to double up on their races and have fun racing bikes.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Chris Levins, do you have any input on this? Put yourself
sorry,
on.
Sorry, say that again.
Did you have any sorry to put you on the spot. Do you have any input on this on the master's survey or any of the things we've talked about so far? I don't want to leave you out.
Oh, no, that's a good point. I mean, as someone who's trying to put on a race, I mean, we really want to put on a race where we have the categories that people want and they come out. So we're always trying to understand what it is, the categories that would get people to come out. I've gotten a lot of feedback already, you know, that whenever you increase an age category, well, the younger racers feel left out. And whenever you lower the age category, well, the older racers feel out. And I want to let everyone know that, you know, we're always trying to do what's best for the largest amount of people, and we would never try and exclude anyone. So it's really hard to have the right solution that's going to work for everybody. And I think that seeing this survey and all the work that people are doing trying to accommodate the population of racers we have here in Northern California, I think that's a good way to try and tackle the problem, and I really hope to see these new categories increase ridership, and not only at individual races but through some of these season-long competitions as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay, maybe let's jump into anybody object to just jumping into the schedule a little bit and working our way through and seeing what we have. Looks like I got a breakdown here. I think Jason Griffith had drafted this out. In the springtime, we're looking at, or is this, now you say winter. Is that, are you saying winter is first or is it spring? I guess we're still in the winter, right?
Winter is coming.
14 crits, six road races, three circuit races, one time trial, one hill climb. You say three stage
yeah,
races.
Yeah, that's Madeira.
Madeira, okay.
3 days, basically.
3 days and then the stage race. What about, what we probably should let Chris talk about here. I mean, the season starts off with a race that's not conducive for a day after New Year's, a hill climb, and coming off right of the holiday season. Chris, why do you torture us on New Year's Day?
Well, this is the perfect race to start off your New Year's resolution, not only trying to maintain or dissuade people from going crazy the night before and giving them a reason to wake up early to get out there, but starting off the season with a hill climb. You know, we've run this race now, I think, over 30 some odd years in some shape or form, and it's really has been a great way to kick off the season. I know historically some of the old cycling teams in the, you know, 1980s would actually make this a very focused race that would kick off their season. The old 7-Eleven team actually came out when they were competing, you know, internationally, but they would show up at the San Bruno Hill Climb and absolutely light it up and show everyone what they were prepared to do this season. So it's a real great way to kick off the new year with, with all the motivation and the training that people are doing right now, getting their base going and really kind of see where you're at and really start off a very successful season.
A quick update on what, just describe the race real quick. I understand it's a hill climb, mass start, individual time trial, length, and kind of the grade on that.
Sure. So the overall course length is 3.5 miles. It's sort of a mass start time trial where we have two groups going off every 4 minutes. And the race starts in the parking lot at the base of San Bruno Mountain and will proceed up the hill towards the San Bruno Mountain Park. And once it enters the park, it's basically a race to the top where there is a big radio tower, which is the logo we're using for our event. The average grade, I think, is close to 5.5%, but there are some flat sections. So when you're actually climbing, I believe it's closer to 7% mostly.
All right, and registration. So we're recording this on the 11th. We'll get it out pretty quick for everybody. But registration, what are you looking at for still online and day of? What's the details there?
Well, let's see here. I think that what we got. Let me see if this works here. Playing around. Oh, that's way too small. I was trying to upload a little avatar there to see, offer a discount code here to everyone. But registration for most fields is going to be $35 for pre-registration up until December 29th. And then it will be $40 on day of. We are really encouraging people to pre-register for a number of reasons. I'll get to that in a second. The juniors field is actually going to be discounted to $20. And we really want to encourage the juniors come out and start their season. So the reason we're encouraging people to pre-register is a number of reasons. The reason that is most significant is that this is the first race of the season. This is day one of the 2020 racing season, which means this is day one of using your 2020 racing license. And there's a lot of people who forget that fact or haven't renewed or have renewed but haven't signed the waiver. And so there was a lot of chaos at the registration tent on the first day of the season. Other than that, we're happy to offer a discount code to the race for all of the listeners. Discount code is B2WHEELS, as the letter B, the number 2, and then the word wheels. And that will entitle everyone to $10 off registration if they pre-register online before December 29th. So I will try and
We'll spread the news and make sure that that gets out there. And so any listeners, yeah, that's a good idea.
Where do you register online? Is it USAC or is it a Bike Reg registration?
So the registration link is going to be Bike Reg. It's bikereg.com/SBHC2020.
And then I did a quick scan of the pre-reg. It looks like Thirsty Bear is really well represented by the team, except for Jason.
Jason who?
Jason, you.
You have another Jason?
If you're putting the race on, do you have to do the hill climb yourself, or do you get to kind of abstain from that?
Luckily, as a aging racer myself, who now is has 2.5 children, third one on the way here.
Congrats.
I've found not as much time to train as I would like to. So luckily, I will be able to sit on the sidelines for this one and watch some of Northern California's greatest march up the hill.
Well, you know, if it wasn't the day, I mean, come on, it's a perfect storm for, I'm putting out the excuses here, perfect storm for, you know, the day before is New Year's Eve, you're going to be up, then it's early, and then it's a hill climb. So that's a rough go.
It's a triple threat.
Right. So I'm trying to get someone out there in my absence. So there you go, Chris. It's all you. How about you, Eric? Are you going?
I am. I'm signed up.
Oh, okay.
He's registered.
I love it. And then it's in the Bay. So all those out there in the Bay Area, you know, sign up and go. Awesome. So maybe, Eric, you can take us through some of the spring here. We've talked about the Masters survey, what's new, and then maybe go through Snelling, and you said before we started recording about the bump as well.
All right. Well, let me talk about the bump. So the bump is no longer the bump. It'll be known as the Sky Express circuit race. And so the reason why is because that course and the equipment associated with that course from the previous promoter has been sold to a new promoter, and Matt Martinez is his name. Matt Martinez is not new to the NCNCA bike racing, promoting, or officiating by any means. He's been around for years, and so he came to us and said, you know, this is what I wanted to do, us being the board, and said, you know, this is my plan. I want to put on 6 races this year. I've bought the Red Kite equipment, and so now it'll go under my own branding of Sky Express. And his plan was to run 6 races this year. The word got out that he was running races, and he's been contacted by other races to help put on their race as well.
So is this kind of fill in the void of some of the Red Kite that was out there last year and that kind of went under? Is this kind of his, is he taking some of those races, or is he just taking on just separate races?
So he will do some races in Livermore, but he's also going to transition some of the races to Lodi. So this is brand new, fresh information. He'll do the February, which was the traditional bump circuit.
Right.
That'll be the second weekend in February, as opposed to the first weekend, which is usually Super Bowl Sunday. And so that's going to be pushed out to the second weekend. But then the second bump that kind of came out later in the year, it'll actually be on a new course in Lodi. I was just told that it'll be behind the Michael Davis Winery.
Good.
That's something new to look forward to.
Hilly course?
Is it?
It's got to be. It's in Lodi.
Right?
It's renowned for it.
Killer hills out there.
It's river passes everywhere.
So a bump may be a little generous then. Okay.
A lump.
Yeah. Cat's Hill. Is that on?
Can we go back real quick? Yeah, it does seem like you mentioned that Sky Express was adding races, and I've been kind of bird-dogging the NCNCA calendar, and it seems like they keep adding races. The most recent one that got me intrigued was it looked like there's now a time trial in Lodi. I think, like, what is it, April time frame, I think?
Looks like March 22nd.
March?
Yeah. Sky Express time trial?
Yeah, so he definitely, I believe Lodi is closer to home for him. So, and he's got the support of the city of Lodi to put on races out there. And once the Tour of California was canceled and he went to go talk to the city of Lodi, they welcomed him with open arms. And they basically said, well, we're happy to work with you. We want your races here. We fully support cycling here in Lodi. So I don't want to say he's taking advantage of that, but he's taking advantage of the opportunity to work with the city of Lodi and put on races there.
That's
so
awesome.
You've seen a lot of things there in Lodi.
Not to keep on the Lodi topic here, but I see that the Lodi Cycle Fest is crossed out. Do you know if he's got any plans to replace that crit. It was a really cool crit.
You know, I know there's been a couple of promoters that have been talking on the Lodi. I know it was previously called Cycle Fest, I believe. And so I think those are still up in the air right now. It's currently crossed off because we don't have a promoter associated with it. That may change, but don't hold me to it.
Gotcha. There's still dozens and dozens of other races, though. So
yeah. So I mean, look, the calendar.
Can I interrupt one more time?
Yeah, of course. You're always no. It's not a formal situation.
No, I was really curious. Yeah, quiet.
Please
hand,
raise your hand next time.
Point of order. I was just curious. So I mentioned I was going to the calendar. Is there anything up for Sky Express where we can find more information as it comes available, or is that going to be, you think, through like Bike Reg when Reg comes around, and then the NCNCA page?
Yeah, you'll see it. And so the NCNCA page, I know it's populated now. And so I was speaking with our via email with our web admin. And so I know he's starting to populate the calendar for what he has. And so it'll be similar to what you see on the spreadsheet that's been shared out with the NCNCA on the Facebook site and through the email distribution list. And so he's working to tie the permits and Bike Reg links back to those races and then put those on the NCNCA calendar. So that's currently in process right now.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, and I'm just stoked. I think it's a welcome addition, and it's exciting to see everything that he's doing with Lodi. I think I always enjoy the Lodi crit every time I've done it, and I know that there was a Woodbridge time trial that I'm wondering, is that the time trial course that he has in mind for the Lodi TT? So, but new races are always awesome. I think that, at least for me, it gets me excited to race because it's a course I've never done before. We all go out and nobody knows about it and just figure it out and have fun.
Right. So how about some races that have been off and then are coming back on? So Cats Hill and Madeira Stage Race both look like they're on the calendar, as of now. I know, look, the last few years, there's been one of the stage races got canceled just due to torrential rainstorm. So, things like that happen. But right now, it looks like we're back on with Cats Hill that had a hiatus. And what can you say about both of those?
Sure. So Cats Hill, for one, we had a promoter that was scheduled to work with the Los Gatos team and to help run and promote Cats Hill. And they pulled out at the last moment, unfortunately. So there wasn't time for another promoter to come in. There was a lot of support. And I personally took a lot of emails and messages saying that, hey, I'll bring my team in. We'll help to run this event. And there was a lot of support for the event. Unfortunately, there just wasn't enough time. So Cats Hill is right before the Santa Cruz Mountains, if you're going up Highway 880, where it turns into 17. And so on the other side of the Santa Cruz Mountains is Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. And so if you run the event later in the year, you run into beach traffic, which makes it really difficult to get to that event. So therefore, they decided to go ahead and cancel it and couldn't bring anyone else in. 2020, San Jose Bike Club is partnering with Los Gatos and Mike's Bikes, and that event is going on. And then it'll also partner with the Santa Cruz Criterium on the next day. So Hill Climbers Delight, if you like those right. power climbers and that's your thing, then you have 2 days in a row of that. And there'll also be an Omnium between those two events.
Oh, that's cool. That's really good. Yeah. How was there any problem with, because you go to Cats Hill and, the community's out there, it's right downtown. It's just one of those old school great crits to watch. My wife loves to go see it or to race. Has there been any trouble with the community? Because it seems like they get involved, but you never know.
I don't know of any trouble with the community there. I thought 2 years ago that the mayor came out or whatever the local representative is. I'm not sure if Los Gatos is a city, town, or how that's managed. But one of the leading representatives of Los Gatos came out to watch the race. And so, yeah, they're supporting it. And, you have to get the sign off because it's a local race within the housing area,
right,
opposed to an industrial park. So you need to get the blessing of those that live there as well, that are going to be impacted by having that race and going through their front door or even having that traffic there. So yeah, they've embraced the race and it's been a good thing.
Yeah, well, good to have that one back. Madeira stage race, it's back. Any comments from anybody actually on that one? Guess not.
I'll go.
Okay.
I did it last year. I think there's a lot of, I know people aren't generally a fan of Madeira. I think a lot of people like Madeira is not the greatest, but the crit course is different. I did it last year, and it's a neat, fun course to race. It's kind of turny. It's in what someday might be a housing development, but right now is just roads. So you can see the whole course, and it's just a neat kind of tactical, fun crit course, as opposed to the like four corner kind of dumb with the railroad tracks and crappy pavement. Like, why are we even out here? Of course. The time trial is an out and back. It's not the same time trial they had before, so it's pretty manageable. And then there's the road race, which I think you either love or hate, and I kind of love. It's a neat course, but that's it for like NorCal stage racing right there. There's other stage races in the country, but that's all we have in the district right now. So I'm really hoping that there's some good turnout for Madeira this year, and it kind of it picks up for the fallout that was left from Chico.
Yeah, I think it always suffered from its schedule placement relative to Chico. Not everybody can stack two stage races that close to one another, and with Chico allegedly kind of falling off the map, it seems like it opens up an opportunity for folks that want to do a stage race to do a stage race. It's centrally located too, which will be nice for most folks.
Right, so we have, you just mentioned Chico's off the calendar, kind of, I think I saw San Dimas is now also a no-go. So we have Madeira, kind of this lone stage race going on. Either Eric or maybe Chris Levins, you can talk about Chico and its demise, it's still in. What's the status there?
Well, I mean, I haven't said anything for a while, so I'll jump in.
Please.
I will briefly comment also that, you know, the stage races, you know, my team and myself when I was racing were always really popular. Not only the individual courses and the races that Jason was just describing, but really sort of the full weekend team atmosphere. You know, if you can get your whole team to come out, you know, 10 guys across all the categories, and it not only is it three bike races in a weekend, but it's really, you know, the things that we enjoyed the most when we were participating was, you know, getting out there with the team and the camaraderie as well as the bicycle racing. That was really important. So speaking specifically about Chico, it sounds like the road race is still on, if I understand that correctly. And that was always one of my favorite road races. The gravel section of Pascenta is a really a race of truth section where the hard men come to the front and it or women, and it is just an absolute grind for 14 minutes of suffering getting through that gravel section. For anyone who's done it, it is, they'll know what I'm talking about, and if you haven't, you should definitely give it a try. It is one of the more challenging sections, but one of the most fulfilling once you get through it.
Right, right. Any. I mean, look, I feel bad that it's gone off the calendar. Just a few years ago, you know, it was really packed with riders. You know, Raleigh was coming out. Chris Horner was supposed to be out there, and now it's just kind of a little bit. I don't know if that's a community. I didn't talk to Jeff Gallen about that. Why did it go the way that it did? Anybody know? Maybe Eric.
Yeah, I was just looking for a reference on why it went the way that it did. You know, I don't think it was just the money. I don't want to make something up here, so I don't recall off the top of my head. But I know it was a tough decision for them to end the race as a stage race. I do know that Matt Martinez is going to run the Pascento Road Race, and he's also talking about running the Criterium as well.
Do we have dates on those?
So it'll be the end of March.
Okay.
It's the 29th.
All right.
I think it's the same weekend, just not a stage race and with fewer races. And I heard, you know, I think we all hear rumors. I don't think there was anything official. We all saw the announcement, I think, that Jeff put out that just said it, you know, they couldn't do it, which is a huge bummer. I think it's a hole for I know at least my team and I personally look forward to that race and planned my training and everything around doing well at that race. And that was always a race, I mean, at least for maybe the past 5+ years, where people just came out and it was just hitters. At least the fields I was racing, and it was always a serious bike race, and a ton of fun. And then like Chris was mentioning, you know, the team aspect, I think many of us and my team included, you know, pulled out the stops with housing or hotels, and you go out to dinner, and it's a huge team event as well. So I think it's a big loss. And I understand, like, these types of things are so on the bubble. I mean, you look at the Tour of California, and it's that's a big race with big sponsors, and they had a hard time proving that the race was viable. And this is something that people are doing in their volunteer time, and they're dealing with a lot of people that have a lot of the same concerns about, oh, I don't want to crit in the downtown because my store has to be closed or whatever. So it's a challenge year after year after year. And then, you know, if you have some key sponsors pull out, it just can't happen anymore. So it's really unfortunate, but some really great memories there.
Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do. When I talked to Jeff 2 years ago, they had, I think it was on St. Patrick's Day or over there. And was that the big holiday? It's a big drinking holiday, right?
Yeah, it's big in Chico.
And it resulted in them almost not being able to put the crit on because of all these cars parked on the road overnight. So that was a big issue. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but, you know, sometimes you run into obstacles. Too bad we don't know the exact reason, but, you know, maybe we'll check that into it later and see what else we could have. Okay, so the spring, we have, or the winter, we have those races. We come into the spring, we got Chico, Land Park, Barriani. Last year, we had Winchester and Auburn that were both helped out by Red Kite. Are those just going to be put on by the teams this year? I don't know if Chris, if you know the details about kind of these spring races, or if you have some info about that.
I'm not really aware of too much of the details of this new race. I don't know if Eric can speak about any of these or not.
Tyler, you got that right. They're going to be ran by the teams that promote those races, both Winchester and Auburn.
Okay, well, good.
You know,
to
if they've partnered up, it'd be easy for them to do, make it an Omnium. I don't know if that's something they've floated yet. We can always talk to the local folks since we see them on rides more often than not.
Right. Anything about these? Okay, so the kind of the spring races here, we have, like I said, Chico, it's kind of in, it's kind of out. Land Park, Barriani, Winchester, Auburn, Golden State, Mount Hamilton. Mount Hamilton, it's just a road race? Is it, because last year it was Omnium, was it?
I think last year was just a road race.
Okay.
No, they did a stage race.
Did they do a stage race last year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? I'm pretty sure. I don't think they had very good attendance, but I think they stretched it out. It was like a circuit and the road race and some other stuff, and it was a big weekend, I think, for everyone that did it.
I thought that was the year before, because I thought the fallout happened before that, but I could be wrong on my timing there. But
official Eric, you want to make the final call on this? what the survey says?
2018.
Sorry, say it again.
I would say, yeah, it was a stage race in 2018.
Okay.
I know they did something different in 20. Actually, I don't think it happened as a stage race in 2019.
Right, yeah.
I mean, think about that. Maybe that was even 2017. It was a stage race. In 2018, I think they tried to do an Omnium, and they had individual events that you could just join and do.
Right.
Do the crowd and not do first stages.
So that is back on. You have listed here, Jason. Well, when is Nevada City? I guess that's in the summer, isn't it?
Kurt.
I know this is skipping ahead, but it's in my mind. It's canceled. It's on. It's canceled. What is the official declaration of Nevada City? What's happening? Nevada City, speak up. Anybody?
Which part? Are you talking about the Tour of California stage that
no,
starts?
No, I know
there?
The Tour of California is not happening.
We've had this conversation a few times now.
No, that is off. I got that one. But the actual race itself, the Nevada City Classic.
My understanding is that it is on.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have confirmation from Eric or Chris or anybody else?
Well, I think that race, you always kind of know maybe a month before. It's on the calendar. There's no details until like maybe the exact time when you could pre-reg, and then all of a sudden everything appears. I did see something about an expanded format for Nevada City so that it looked like some either gravel or mountain bike events the day before.
Correct.
And then like the classic that everyone is familiar with on, is that Father's Day?
No. I think it's been moved.
I moved it off to that.
So yeah, there's some schedule, like which day of the month is it? But yeah, I think that's another one kind of similar vein to Madera where I think it's a classic. It's a NorCal classic race, and it's just seen a decline in registration. And I think last year there was a bunch of us at other races. I think it was the same weekend as Cascade. And we had some guys there, and there were some other NorCal guys there, and there just wasn't enough racers to do all the races, and the participation at Nevada City last year or this year was abysmal. It was a bummer.
Well, let me throw this question to Chris Levins. So you put on races, and you know the troubles that go with this, and this is what we have with Nevada City, some of this. What can be done about any of that as a race promoter I'm just looking here, Velo Promo, they have a bunch of races, and I know that they put out that they're looking for people to help sponsor races, you know, bring in money, individual companies to do this. What's your kind of input on putting, and Eric, you can take this as well after Chris, about putting on races in this difficulty and especially the cycling environment. We have a huge calendar, but yet, you know, we don't want good races to go away.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think one of the things that people don't realize is just exactly how much not only time and energy it takes to put on these races, but also money. You know, in looking at the San Bruno Mountain Hill Climb, it's a 3.5-mile race, but it starts in a private property parking lot, moves to a Brisbane city street, transitions to a San Mateo County Park, and finishes atop the mountain, which is privately owned property by a fourth entity. So each one of these has a permit and a fee, and the race is put on by USA Cycling, which also, has hoops to jump through. So for this race individually, I have six permits I need to get, even though it's only 3 miles. So, one of the things that really helps out when we're doing this is getting volunteers to help be course marshals, have people who are familiar with the local municipalities who can help assist get permits. Luckily, there's a number of people in my club who are familiar with the San Mateo County Parks Department, and they've been able to assist me in helping get some of these permits. But getting permits is one of the hardest things for any race promoter, and just getting basically the green light for their race. And so I would say, as racers, pre-registering has got to be the number one thing we can do, because it gives the promoters an assurance that, yes, if I do jump through all these hoops, get all these permits, go through all that pain and suffering, that there will be people showing up, not only from a financial standpoint, but, you know, part of the reason we put on these races is because we're doing it for the good of the community. I used to race a lot myself, and I don't really do it much anymore, but I'm glad that I'm have the opportunity to, you know, be this race promoter and help put on these races for other people and give back in that way. Because when I was racing, I was really grateful that there was this large calendar of events, and every weekend I could go out to a new race. The calendar is basically chock full of events from, you know, mid-February all the way through, you know, July or August these days. So in addition to pre-registering, I would say, you know, if you were doing a criterium, they're probably always looking for people to help out with regard to course marshals, as well as, so maybe if you were to race an early race, maybe you could volunteer for a marshal position later in the day. I mean, but it really depends on what that promoter needs. And if you were really trying to help out and assist, I would say that the best thing you could do is ask. I'm sure the race promoters would be willing to tell you exactly what they need. So those would be my suggestions.
Eric, what about you? And before you do, maybe you could comment on this. Mm-hmm. I remember it used to, I don't know if it was a NCNCA or a USA Cycling issue, where to be a team, you had to put on a race. And I don't think that's in play anymore. I'm pretty sure it's not.
Otherwise, we wouldn't be a team.
Right. So first of all, how do you feel about that? And then maybe you could comment also about being a promoter and putting on the difficulties of putting on a race.
Sure. So back in 2014, 2015 or so is when that rule went away. And that was a USAC rule that USAC clubs need to be able to put on either one, put on a race, or help with a promoter to put on a race. You know, that could be bringing out a team of volunteers to course marshal. Often that's a hard position to fill. So yeah, once that went away, we started losing events. So the complaint used to be that we have too many events on the calendar. We were up to somewhere around 125, 128 race days on the calendar for the same amount of days for the year. Currently, I believe we have 88 event race days on this year or 2020's calendar. So significantly, I mean, that's almost a 25% decrease in the races. And so with that, beyond less races is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But one of the things that the feeling with the board, other people that I've spoken with over the years, is that if a team puts on a race, they have ownership. They want one to be at that race. They're most likely going to do that race or know someone that's going to do that race. They're going to have a teammate doing the race. Maybe have support from their families. And then so they have a sense of ownership over their event. If they're doing a course marshal at an event, they're most likely going to race it if it's not their club's event. And so the ownership of events has definitely declined. And there's been a shift in, you know, even what I'm reading on social media on the NCNCA Facebook page, about how people look at events as opposed to this is a sport that I love. I want to contribute to it. I'm passionate about this and I want to do what I can to make sure this sport exists in the future. So I can continue to race my bike with my 400 best friends every Saturday and Sunday to, you know, this race is, you know, the cheapest race or something. And, you know, it's $2 cheaper than another race.
Right.
And so, I mean, when you have a couple, you know, $10,000 bikes, does $2 really make a difference? You know, I hear a lot of things, you know, well, I only do this race because, you know, there's no hills. Okay. Or, you know, whatever. And it's turned in kind of into a consumer environment for many people, many individuals, as apart from a place of ownership, to where they're promoting it because they're taking an active role in the community and the bike racing, doing their part to what they can to keep things going forward.
Yeah, really good point. I mean, without tooting my own horn, I did Winchester and Auburn as an example, just because I thought they were fantastic races and I want to keep supporting them. And that's not always easy to go do. I should probably do the same with San Bruno, right?
You should. Anybody?
Right. I appreciate those comments on there. Jason, why don't you talk about the last part of the season? I know there's some things you wanted to say on those. And then maybe anybody else have some comments about just kind of the races that are new to them or that they want to make about the schedule coming up?
Yeah, I think the end of the calendar is largely unchanged. I think August will be the same with the Cal Cup races from now for probably the next 100 years. So there's no point in really saying what's on what weekend. I think there's still no word from USAC on when amateur or masters nationals is. I do check that page every day because I want to see if it's in Colorado again. It's a high likelihood it will be in Colorado again because usually those events run 2 years consecutively at the same venue. So probably Colorado again for those that liked it or didn't like it, whatever. I did nationals this year in Colorado, and they were challenging courses and challenging fields. And it's always a fun experience. And yeah, hopefully you walk away with a jersey. Most people won't.
NCNCA,
it's a great experience.
Did really well there. Sorry? This year. I said NCNCA did really well there this year. We came back with quite a few jerseys. So.
Yeah, we like, I think, I'm not sure people realize how lucky we are to have the calendar that we do. It's a breeding ground for amateur racers. I mean, when you can race every single weekend, pretty much from March through almost September, that means you get a lot of opportunities to race all different kinds of races, and all different field sizes, and just, you know, player's delight as far as figuring out how to race your bike if you're still learning. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, do we know where districts are for all the different categories? Have those been announced on our own schedule? We didn't talk about those.
Those have not been announced. So we will start reaching out to promoters. We have a couple of things in the works. So usually by this time we get a new contract with USAC. They've made some changes. And so we're kind of behind on a couple of different things. And so district races and the championship events, we're going to start, or we'll start asking promoters for which dates that they would like to request or put in a bid for championships.
Can you say what's changed? You just made a little comment about some changes with USAC. Can you make comments of what that is?
So two of the things that they're changing is the upgrade coordinator. They are going to handle that position in Colorado, as well as the permit coordinator. And so those are two positions that we've held here locally in with members of our region, and both of them have been officials. And so both of those positions are being eliminated from the local NCNCA and being taken up at a regional level through USAC.
So what does that mean? Someone for upgrade, they then contact USA Cycling instead of, I don't know, before we, or Rouse or whoever was doing it here. Is that what you're saying for upgrading categories?
Yeah. And so, you know, initially when you go to upgrade or request an upgrade in a category, you go to your USAC license page and you go to your license and you could request it right there. So I don't expect there's going to be any changes there, but I do wonder about the response time, especially early in the season, if other areas are doing beginner racer programs and you have a multitude of upgrades that are being requested at once. And if one person is going to handle 4, 5, 6 regions, and they need to check and validate, and hopefully they don't just blanket upgrade everyone. So there can be some potential time constraints there.
There was, I'm sorry, I'm just something, there was something about fees with the NCNCA or each division or each district out there and the USA Cycling. I'm just giving up, I don't remember what it was, but I know it just came about. Do you know what I'm talking about? And if would you, was there anybody understand, remember? Am I just throwing something out there that I don't know what
I think saying? I read that it was USA Cycling was going to be giving less money to the local associations. I don't know what the driver was behind that, though.
Is that ring a bell at all, Eric?
Yeah, that's associated with those two positions being eliminated locally and then being taken on at a regional level. So they used to give us rebates for those positions to fill those positions, and that was a requirement. USAC still does have other requirements, such as officials training, putting on a beginner racer program, some sort of training clinics, as well as other trainings that we do throughout the year, having promoters meetings. And so they'll give us a tiered rebate program based upon completing all of those areas. So we're doing them already anyways, but they're giving us less rebates based upon those two positions that they're eliminating for us to handle and manage.
Okay, gotcha. That makes sense. Last thing here, and then we'll kind of go. Cal Cup, is that already been established? Is that up on the website? Which races and any changes in that for this coming year?
Cal Cup. August?
Huh?
Do they have like the races for 2019?
It's on my, as you wrote it on the list. I thought
I'm
you
focused on San Bruno right now.
No, you're not. I'm just asking about the schedule. We're talking about the full schedule. We're not going to do a second show mid-season and update. So if you want to talk Cal Cup.
This is it.
Yeah. Talking about Cal Cup, then if you have any input on there. No?
It starts with Warnerville.
Okay.
And it goes to Patterson. Then Dunnigan, Sassoon, University. But I don't think that they're doing, or wait, no, University's not being done. San Ardo. This is from memory. Not Vacaville.
Sad.
Winters. Right? So
Winters is
same
on.
Same thing. Yeah. Not okay. Vacaville, but Winters, yes. No, I think that's all happening. There is one question. I'm curious if because this year there was Nationals fell on the weekend of Dunedin and Sassoon, so I'm wondering if there's going to be some shift there because we might have that conflict again. So, but other than that, no, I think Cal Cup will be Cal Cup.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if anyone remembers who won every year. That'll probably continue for this year. But they're great races. Like some of my favorite races are during August in Cal Cup.
Maybe Eric and Chris Levins, you guys could just give us a comment. Any highlight, anything else you want to say about the season? Anything, Eric, about the NCNCA? Maybe we'll start with Chris. Chris, anything you want to say about the season coming up? Your team, obviously San Bruno, and let us hear it.
Sure. Well, I mean, if we're asking about San Bruno, I'm going to remind everyone about the discount code again. That is B2 Wheels. That is the letter B, the number 2, and then the word wheels, all one word. And that'll be $10 off any non-junior category. The junior category is already discounted. Eric, I have a question for you, actually. I was noticing that San Bruno is actually the only hill climb on the calendar. Does that mean this is like the de facto
world championships?
World championship. So if you want to be a part of that, make sure you come out. Otherwise, we are in the process of also doing another race probably in June, although where we were having it last year, this is the Brisbane Criterium. That one also is facing some issues because where we had it, there's going to be a lot of construction, so we're still working that out. Separately, other than that, we have our team is getting really excited about the season. We have our training camp scheduled for our team coming up this January. We plan on coming out to the early birds and representing. If you'd like to meet us, come on out. We plan on having a team there. And we have a lot of excitement to do a lot of these early season races. You know, I think we're going to try and make our way out to some of these stage races as well. We hope to see a lot of people out there. And the thing I remember most about racing and the thing I enjoyed the most was really just like the teammates and the camaraderie, both from my team as well as the friends I made on other teams. And coming out there every weekend and kind of meeting these people again and forming those bonds and friendships is kind of why I'm doing what I'm doing now. So I won't speak too much specifically about any of the races because I'm not sure that I might be racing in any of them, but I'm really looking forward to the season. I know that our team has been training really hard and we are going to be hopefully a formidable force out there. So challenge thrown down to everyone else and we hope to see you guys out there.
Great. And what about you, Eric?
Well, one thing I want to say, talking with people over the years, racers, and often racers that focus on other disciplines outside of road. I know they do exist. Maybe in this crowd, I think road is our primary focus. But, you know, one of the big things, and this is a message for the clubs and the teams out there, is especially for the newer racers, the thing that draws them in is the experience. And so it's not just the event, but it's also the social aspect of the event. So I know we have a lot of team focus events that we plan to put on throughout the year, or we're not putting on the events, but we plan to attend those events heavily and push those events with the team. And so having that social aspect, having a team tent, if you have that, or a place to meet up, is a great thing to keep the invitation open for newer riders, newer racers to the team. And just having them a way to interact, as opposed to just showing up at the race, warming up, having a quick talk, getting out there, doing the race, and leaving.
Yeah, thanks. How about you, Jason? Anything you want to throw about your team, your season coming up, or the schedule that you looked through, and something you're excited for?
Yeah, I'm generally excited to see bigger fields next year. I hope that's coming to fruition. It seems like every year it's going to be a little bit bigger, but the calendar year this year is really exceptional as far as the amount of races that we have. I'm honestly not sure if we've seen this amount of races. We've had a couple over the years that have fallen by, but the Sky Express stuff just gets bigger and bigger, and so it's a lot more opportunities for people to get out and race their bikes. There are a couple races if people are targeting things, they want a good team event. I know we have just the one, we have Madeira as a stage race here in NorCal, but also Two races that I've done that I think would be fun as a team event. Cascade is going to happen again this year. That looks like the last weekend of May. It's a three-day event. And the format for amateurs, not for the pros, because there's also a pro format, is designed to be, I guess, less demanding. So it previously had longer road races, and this has got kind of shorter, punchier courses, kind of designed one bike rules them all. That, like, I'm not a fan, but I think more people will be a fan that there's no traditional time trial bike allowed in the amateur fields at Cascade. So I think that'll be cool with a lot of people if it's not cool with me. And then Baker City, which is kind of your more traditional stage race in Baker City, Oregon, that's a serious stage race. Like, the time trial is one of the fastest time trials I've done, and then the road race is the final day. It's like 80 miles with an hour uphill, 6% uphill at the very end of this long road race, long stage race. So
are you running for the Orba presidency?
I'm
not sure.
Well,
I thought this was,
you know, we've got
California.
We've got quantity of races here in NCNCA, and they've always had a lot of quality stage races in Oregon. But I mean, if you look at their race calendar, they have maybe like 5-6 crits.
Right,
like two road races all year.
And the fact you bring that up is because when we go up there, it's just everyone we race with here up there, and a few Oregon people anyway. So
seriously,
yeah. Chris Flower, any closing comments or stuff you've seen on the calendar that you're interested in you want to point out to anybody?
Yeah, I'll go the opposite of Jason. Cascade's great. I've done that. I've not done Baker City. More local to me personally. I'm glad to see Folsom's back on here twice. Those are both a mile from home. Also glad to see that the Golden State race is on here. That's 100 feet from my office, so these are very easy races for me to get to. So from a selfish perspective, I'm always glad to see those make it on there. And then Cal Aggie is also one that I'm looking forward to. It's a fun little course, and it's a good way to kind of shake out your crit legs early in the season with a real race. So good to see those local kind of Sacramento Folsom races still on the calendar.
Yeah. So personally, I'm glad to see Los Gatos, Cat's Hill, back on there, and good to hear that you're working with that, Eric. I love those downtown, quaint, punchy races, so I'm excited to have that back. So look, everybody, I appreciate you joining us, Eric and Chris Levins and Jason and Chris in here. For the new riders out there, I mean, for me personally, if you see me at a race, come talk to me. I'd love to, you know, talk to you about racing. I love racing. Get you excited about the sport. I appreciate both of you guys coming in and giving your expertise. And remember, B2 Wheels as the link for the pre-reg for San Bruno. Get your climbing legs on. Any last comments from any of you before we head out?
I would say if you do approach Tyler to talk to him about racing and you need an icebreaker, bring up the Boise Crit.
I did the Boise Crit.
That's a good icebreaker.
Thank you. Anybody else with any last comments? All right.
No, that's it. Thanks very much for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Thanks, everybody. Between Two Wheels podcast. Check us out everywhere. We'll share the show. Everyone could share the show. And we're hoping to do a little meld here with the Bay Area and the I don't know, what are we? I guess Sacramento area. So glad to have everyone in. Thank you, and enjoy 2020 on the bike.